Amen. Hey, that's right. Once again, we're going to continue our study of the book of James, how to spot a phony Christian. And we've been seeing the last 21 times. Who's counting? I am. Thank you. Oh, and you too. Praise God. Thank you. I appreciate that work. Let's just close in prayer. No, 21 times we've been dealing with this aspect, how to spot a phony Christian. That's not a foreign concept in the scripture. The Bible says what? False teachers, false apostles, false prophets, and what? False brothers. Fakers in your midst in a multitude of ways, okay? The good thing is God doesn't just tell us that. He tells us how to spot them, right? That's what the book of James is all about. Unfortunately, what's happening? People ain't doing it. They're not reading the Bible. They're not teaching the Bible. They're not taking this serious. Okay, and so now we have the apostasy, and I'm convinced it's because fakers have not only been allowed to flood the church, they're now in the pulpits and the seminaries and the Bible colleges. They're controlling the church, as crazy as that is. I really believe that that's unfortunately what we're experiencing today. But not here at Sunrise Bible Church. Why?
We study the Bible.
That's right. Whoever said that, we study the Bible. Open your Bibles to James chapter 1. Okay, James chapter 1. Let's get back there. And we're going to hone in again on that second acid test that James tells us. How do you know you might have one of these fakers in your midst? So, number one, what you do is you deal with it. You witness to them, number one. Number two, you certainly don't let them into a teaching position, leadership, behind the pulpit, whatever. Okay, hello, they're not saved. You need to deal with it. But let's take a look at that second acid test, James chapter 1, starting with verse 13. Here's what it says. When tempted, no one should say what? God has tempted me. Well, how come? Because God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But here's where it really comes from. But each one is tempted when by his own neighbor, because it's their fault. It's society, and they made me because I had an unfortunate childhood. I'm sorry, wrong translation. What's it say? Where's it come from? Your own evil desire, right? That old man, right? That old sin nature. You're what? You're dragged away and enticed. Then here's the unfortunate payoff. You reap what you sow. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to what?
Death.
Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. You may be seated if you can. Again, James is the first book written chronologically in the New Testament. He is out there under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, staving off an attack from Satan, flooding the church with fakers so that people will get a false gospel, a false Jesus, a false Christianity, and they won't get saved even though they go to church services and they'll join Satan in the lake of fire. So here comes James, the first book. The church is finally out there being his witnesses. Okay, and he's giving them acid tests so he can stay pure and stay true to God's word. And the first acid test he throws out there was the first 12 verses, and that is, watch what these people do. They say they're a Christian. They're right there next to you in the pew, but watch what they do with trials. Okay, was the first one. Then we saw the second acid test was temptations. Watch what these people do with temptations, i.e. sin, their attitude towards that. And that's what we saw there in verse 13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. Why? Because we saw, hello, God is holy. He is holy. He is holy. He's without sin, without shadow, without darkness. He can't sin. What are you doing? Right? How dare you sit there and not only blame others for your sin, but now you're going to stoop to the sinful level, the blasphemous level, and say that God is making you. Are you kidding me? That is blasphemous. And we saw there, that might be an indicator of your spiritual condition. Why? Because that's what lost people do. And as a Christian, yeah, we may blame others temporarily for our sin, but you don't stay that way. Why? Because if you're a true born again Christian, at the moment of salvation, what happens? You're indwelt with what? The Holy Spirit of God. And what does he do? He convicts you of sin. So at some point, you're going to confess that sin, not forever blame it on others or God or even say you don't have sin. You see what's an acid test? He says, but don't you dare ever get to that point where you're going to blame God for your sin. And then we saw last time, James is very blunt where it came from. That's why it's ridiculous and blasphemous to blame others and blame God. It's the old enemy within we saw. And that's what we saw in verse 14 there. But each person is tempted when who? They are dragged away by who? Their own evil desire and enticed. And that's what James says. You can't blame your neighbor. You can't blame somebody else. You can't blame society. Oh, you can. But it's a lesson of futility. And you certainly can't blame God. It's ridiculous. Okay? As we saw, here's where it comes from. We have found the enemy, and it is us. The old us. The new us created in Christ Jesus. Loves Jesus, wants to obey him, but we still have to deal with that old booger, if you will, of a sin nature, okay? And so stop saying it came from others or God. That just keeps you trapped in sin. And basically, we saw the reason why it's blasphemous for saying it came from God is because he's holy. But basically, what you're saying is God is like Satan. You better get that off your mouth real fast. You better brush your teeth. You better do something. Try a different mouthwash, okay? But don't you ever say that. James says it comes from within. And then he tells you exactly this. You better take it serious. Because 100% of that time, when you give in to that, that's out there. Remember, he uses a hunting term and a fishing term. It's all to drag you away and entice you and to what? To give birth to something horrible. That's what we saw at verse 115. 100% of the time, right? Then, after desire has conceived, you give in to that bait, it gives what? Birth to what? Sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to what? Death. So James, again, is saying when you give into this, this is not saying, well, yeah, it's unfortunate. I'm just not paying attention to this and blaming God, blaming other people. And yeah, and just, you know, are you kidding me? He says, listen, when you don't take this serious and you don't understand where this is coming from, listen, what's going to happen is 100% of the time, you're going to give birth to what? It's alive. Remember that? It's an evil baby monster. Right? You wonder why there's death and destruction everywhere. Why? Because that's sin. Sin hurts, sin harms, sin destroys. That's all it can do, like that thing. Right? Remember that? How many guys stopped eating chicken because you don't ever want to give birth to that? You know what I'm saying? Hey, you know it's true, but let's get on. Okay? Okay, but that's what the point. That's his point. You got an enemy within. You better take this serious. Stop blaming others. Don't you dare blame this on God. And understand there's a process internally that is there that you have to deal with every day that's enticing you, baiting you, dragging you, hunting you down to get you to birth sin that will hurt, harm, and destroy every time, right? Now, here's the point. Verse 16, James is so serious about it, he warns you, you better take this serious. And he simply says that. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Literally in the Greek, stop being deceived. As if it's been going on, knock it off, stop. Urgent now, stop, why? Because if you don't, your life's going to be full of sin. And then that means it's going to what? Give birth to what? Death and destruction, hurt and harm. It's serious. Stop. Stop being deceived, my brothers. And he says they're beloved ones. Now, the Greek word is this, okay? Stop being deceived. What do you mean deceived? It's the Greek word planao. And it means, as you can see there, to lead astray, to lead away from the right way, to go astray, to wander, to fall away from the truth. And I see two things in the context here, before and after verse 16, because that's called the context. The context, that's right, Pastor Bobby. The context tells us this, okay? And the first thing that he tells us contextually is he's saying, stop being deceived on how to deal with sin. This is serious. And that's what we see there in the context, 15 and 16. Put them together. That's the context. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived about that, my dear brothers. Right? That's the first thing. The second thing contextually that he says is sin is a bad advertisement. Notice subliminally there's spiders in the background. That will make sense hopefully soon. Let's give it up for our guest from Arkansas. Yes, well, thank you. I knew you were coming. I would have changed it to ticks because they're creepy too. But that's right. But this is what we see. It's a bad advertisement contextually. That's what he said. Don't be deceived. It's a bad advertisement. Why? Because here's what he says. James 1:16. Now, following that, 17, 18. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Listen, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth that we might be what? A kind of first fruits of all he created. So contextually in that particular one that I believe James is saying, stop being deceived about, he's saying, listen, if you sit there and profess to be a Christian and you continue in a sinful lifestyle, it not only strikes at the heart of salvation, right? Because if you don't take sin serious, then why should the loss? And that's the first step in getting saved. I'm a sinner, God. He said, right? Okay, but second of all, he says we're to be a kind of first fruits of what? Of what God has prepared for those who love him who do get saved. And as we all know, God has prepared for us our inheritance in Christ, not just escaping hell, but he's created for us a new world just like this one, full of sin and rottenness. Yeah, woo! No, what? A world without sin. And we're to be, if you will, first fruits, a preview Christian walking around by our holy lives going, wait till you see what's coming. It's going to be a world without all this sin. And what's sin do? Death, destruction, hurt, harm. They should get that preview, first fruits from us. Do you see it? But we're going to deal with that one later. We're going to deal with this first one first. How to deal with sin. Don't be deceived on how to deal with sin. Why? Because again, it hurts, it harms, it destroys, it gives birth to that every single time. 100% of the time. You need to deal with this, okay? And it doesn't stop. That's all it can do. It just keeps, You just keep giving birth. It just keeps multiplying. It gets worse and worse. In fact, let's get on that spider theme, shall we? How many guys love spiders? You woke up today and said, man, I just hope Pastor Billy talks about spiders. Well, today's your day. Oh, none of you. Right, so spiders. But watch this. This is an old deacon. Right? And he's old, one of those spiritual deacons. And you know they're spiritual. Because all of a sudden they become British. You know what I'm talking about. Really. So if you're British, you're spiritual. Have you noticed that actually in Christian music? All the Christian artists are, hey, it's like you're either British or Australian. Is it just me? It's true. Anyway, so here's this old deacon. He gets up there. You know, he's all puffed up. Mr. Spiritual. He gets up there. He's leading the prayer meeting, right? And he always ends with these words. Oh, Lord, clean out all the cobwebs of my life. Well, finally, this man who lived next door to him, who watched him all week long, he couldn't take it anymore. He was there. And because he knew this old deacon, man, he was just some carnal dude, whatever, and he just couldn't take it. So sure enough, one Wednesday night, the old deacon gets up there, he starts his thing. Oh, Lord, clean out the cobwebs of my life. And the neighbor jumps up and he says, hey, Lord, don't do it, don't do it. Make him kill the spider. And this is what I believe James is saying here. Don't just deal with the cobwebs. Wouldn't it be better to go to the source that's making the cobwebs? And then you don't have to mess with cobwebs? But most of us, we don't even do that, right? We're just slapping ourselves silly, like this guy. Watch this.
Look, y'all really think he looked like Steve Harvey? Huh?
Hey. Whoa! You know what? You can't just watch that once. That's worse than a Lay's potato chip. Let's watch it again.
Look, y'all really think he looked like Steve Harvey? Huh? Hey.
Now, how many guys, be honest, if you're walking around your front porch and, hey, I kind of feel something on me, and that thing popped out, what would you do? Same thing. You love me, right? That's a normal response, right? Unfortunately, most of us, when it comes to spiders, are like this guy. Watch this. Let's take a look.
David!
What?
Spider!
Strength to carry on, and you cast your fears aside, and you know you can survive.
It's still alive!
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Sam and Gia, newlyweds, still working out their challenges. It's been, 4 weeks? You'll make it. Don't give up. But then we do it for the spider, right? It's just like, you see it and you're slapping yourself silly, or it's like, oh, and you still don't. And this is what I believe James is saying, don't be deceived about, okay? The same thing. We have a, now again, call it what you will, old man, sin nature. We saw a black dog, right? Called a spider making cobwebs, i.e. sin. He says, don't be deceived. This thing is really going on. You need to deal with it. Don't slap yourself. Don't freak out because that ain't going to do nothing. You need to get rid of the thing. Go to the source. Stop being deceived. Okay? So that's what we're going to do. And we're going to take a look at that process of sin. So hopefully we can listen, not just deal with the cobwebs, i.e. after we sin. How about we go to the source? Learn how to deal with it. Stop being deceived so we don't have as much cobwebs or sin in our walk. Sound like a smart thing to do? That's what he says. Don't be deceived about that. Now, the first thing we're going to see is, where does temptation come from? And this is what we saw last week, if you were here, the breakdown with the conflict that is going on only in Christians. And if you're a true born-again Christian, this is what you're going to experience. If you don't experience this, guess what? As Paul says in Romans 8, you ain't got the Spirit of God in you, which means you're not saved. If you're saved, you got a conflict going on. Let's describe that conflict. First of all, we saw in the original state before the fall of man, man is created a spirit, soul, and a body. Our spirit is that our eternal nature, created in the image of God, because he is spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, right? And so that's our eternal nature. We have a soul, our mind, our will, and emotions, and a body that we can traverse around with our spirit and soul around planet Earth. How many of you guys realize that a body comes in handy when you want to go to the grocery store? Now, those of you who didn't raise your hand, I don't know how you get there, but you're freaking me out. Okay, but seriously, that's the original state. The problem was what? We saw what was happening, okay? The fallen state, when Adam and Eve sinned, okay, then they became dead spiritually, still eternal in nature, but that intimacy with God is cut off, okay? Then you got a contorted soul. Now you feel guilty and ashamed because here comes sin that wasn't there before, right? Trying to cover yourself with fig leaves. And then you have a diseased body, i.e. sin nature. You have that part that's like Satan, rebelling against God. I will do it my way, my. Okay, the sin nature, old man, black dog. Now we're looking at spire that creates the sin, cobwebs, etc. Now, here's what happens after salvation. And again, this is why it's an acid test, how people deal with sin and temptation. Because now Christians are the only one who what? You're born again from above, Onathen. You're made alive in Christ, and now your spirit is alive. So now you have that communication, that direct intimacy with God back again, right? And so the Spirit's always there communicating with us. Follow God. Get into prayer, Bible reading, witnessing, walk and live and keep in step with the Spirit, right? Okay, but what's going on? We're not done with that old man, black dog, sin nature, spider creating the cobwebs. What do you want to call it? Okay, so the goal is there's a conflict between the two, Galatians 5, and if you ain't got no conflict, if you don't have no attitude towards sin, and you keep blaming it on God and other peoples, and you say you have no sin, you're not saved. Because there's going to be a conflict, right? Okay, now the goal we saw was we're a new creation in Christ. You need to what? You need to feed the spirit and at the same time starve the flesh, the old man, the black dog, the spider, right? And that's what you saw. When you feed the spirit, how? Through Bible prayer, witnessing, fellowship, and worship music. Your mind is on the spirit. You're walking, living, keeping step of the spirit. What happens? Then you get the payoff. You get more love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, which helps keep that flesh in line. But if you don't do that and you feed the flesh, this is what James said, don't be deceived. You start feeding this thing, it's going to produce 100% of the time things that will destroy you. And he just mentioned some of them. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, and orgies. Okay? And so what is it that feeds that thing? That's what we're going to deal with, okay, is what James says. And the Bible is very clear. The one thing that feeds that black dog, the old man, the sin nature, in this case, spider, that's creating the sin or cobwebs, okay, the first thing the Bible says that's feeding that, that you need to shut off, is Satan and demons. And of course, we're talking about spiritual warfare. A reality that we got to deal with, whether people want to believe in it or not, it is real. And yet, here's the thing that Satan does the moment after people get saved. He couldn't stop you from getting saved. He can't take away your salvation. So he throws out this lie. Oh, come on. All right. Yeah, so you became a Christian. You're one of those people. But come on. Bad enough, people are going to think you're a wacko for being a Christian, especially if you go to Sunrise Bible Church. But you mean to tell me, on top of that, you're going to believe in all this spiritual warfare mumbo jumbo stuff? You mean to tell me you're going to walk around and say you believe in a guy with a red jumpsuit and he's carrying this picture? Are you serious? And it works all too well. You have, as I shared before, what's the stat? I cannot believe this. 65% of those who profess to be Christians in the American church say Satan is not literal. He's a symbol of evil. This is nuts. It's all over the scripture. Who do you think caused the fall of man? Hello. And then that's just Old Testament, New Testament. It's all over. Satan's real and so are demons. This is not a joke, right? And that's what we see here. 1 Peter 5, I'll just give you one verse. Be self-controlled and alert. Why? Because nothing is out there. That's just a scare tactic from preachers to rip you off of your money. And no, it's not. Because your enemy, the who? The devil prowls around like a roaring lion looking for somebody to tickle. He was funny. He's a great guy. He's great to hate. No, he's not. He's what? What's the word? Devour. Right? Resist him. Stand firm in the faith. Because why? You know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. The Bible is very clear, folks, very emphatically clear. It isn't just that the devil and demons exist. It's what's their modus of operandi, according to the scripture, every single day, 7 days a week, whether you want to believe it or not. They're out there to destroy, and how they do that? They're out there getting you to feed that spider, get you feed that black dog, that sin nature, to do things, and instead of listening to God, don't feed the spirit, don't grow stronger as a Christian, feed that flesh, feed that man, keep that spider going, produce another cowboy every day. And yet 65% of those who are Christians say, not real. Stop being deceived, James would say. You need to knock that off. If you're going to experience the victory in Christ that he's already won for you, you need to take this serious. Stop being deceived. Okay? And I think, again, this is just basically a common sense warfare, a tactic, right? Anybody wants to win a battle, what's one of the things that you want to have on your side? The element of surprise. Why? Because you could sneak right in, right in the midst of your enemy's camp, and bang, get them. You don't even know what's hitting them. Because, well, surprise, it's the same thing. He's got almost two-thirds of the so-called church not even believing that devils and demons exist. And you know what? I tell you what, that is the craziest thing, because I'm not joking, folks. Just last week, praise God for cell phones. You can get videos of all kinds of stuff that you never could before. Right, but I walked out my backyard just last week, and I saw a demon come right out of my dog's doghouse. I got it on tape. Watch this. This is crazy. Still scares me. I can hardly sleep last night, people. Come on. Now, obviously, I'm joking, not about chickens being evil and demonic. But I bring that up because this is, I think, part of the problem that Satan does to do the old sneak attack to get 65% of professing Christians to say he's not real. It's because of this kind of stuff, what I call hypersensationalism from those professing to be Christians. And they blame everything on the devil. The devil, it's the spirit of bubblegum, man. It's all over me. I can't stop. It's the spirit of bubblegum. It's not a demon caused my flat tire. There's a demon in my coffee table. My son will not go on the potty because there's a demon in the toilet. That really happened. I'm not joking. Couple calls and wants to have their toilet exercise, perform an exorcism on their toilet because that's why their son would not go potty on it, because there's a demon there. Don't tell anybody you're a Christian. No wonder they're freaking out. Another one, I'm not joking. One of my internships, I had this youth come up to me. It was his mom. He said, Pastor Billy, man, my mom has just been watching all those hucksters on so-called Christian TV. Hey, soul seed, my ministry, this, all here. And then, you know, they're into this hyper-sensational, the devil is, and he's a god. She was so stinking scared. She was, these hucksters had her convinced that demons were everywhere. And they are everywhere. But it was to the extreme. Her routine every day, and this is what he told me, her routine every day was she would pack up her clothes, all of them, the dresser, whatever, put them in giant garbage bags, and stuff them in her trunk and take all of her clothes with her to work. You know why? Because she was convinced that the demons were cursing her clothes while she was at work. And so to keep that from happening, that was her routine. You know what? That's exactly what the enemy wants. The enemy is real. That's the point I'm making. This is what James is saying. Don't be deceived. Don't act like it's not real. But you're at the other extreme of this spectrum here. And this is not healthy. And it's a horrible, rotten witness, by the way. Right? Because the Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. And God has not given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. I don't wake up every day and go, oh, the devil is here, even though he's real. But that's what Satan wants. He wants you to give attention to him. And that's all this lady was doing all day. She wasn't thinking about Jesus Christ. It was Satan this and demons that and this. In a state of fear, that's not from God. But again, I think the enemy uses that to produce this unfortunate other extreme. Oh, no, he's not real. It's not a big deal. You know what James would say? Stop being deceived. This is one of the inputs every day that is feeding our flesh, the old man, the black dog, the spider. You want to know why it won't go away? Because you're not dealing with this thing that's keeping it alive. Right? It's spiritual warfare. Okay? How in the world can we win a war? We refuse to fight. How can we defeat an enemy? We refuse to see. How can we enjoy the victory Christ has already given to us if we don't even believe in the one he's given victory over? No wonder your testimony's in the toilet. No wonder you're getting smacked around. No wonder you don't experience victory that you already got through Christ over temptation, because you don't even believe the great tempter exists. And yet, whether you realize it or not, it's there every day. Always out there trying to get you to feed that old sin nature to give birth to death. Right? Let's watch this video again. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And if you guys think I'm just, man, Pastor Billy, that was kind of cool, but I'm sure that was a awesome animation back in 1992. Folks, you can't find hardly anything current because nobody's dealing with this. So you got to go back when people used to talk about the whole counsel of God, including Satan and demons. That's going on every day. It's not just going on. Oh, yeah, there's Satan and demons. What is their modus of operandus? Those thoughts that go through your brain aren't always from you. Hey, don't read the Bible. Go get that person. How dare they say that? Do that. Yeah. Sometimes it's spiritual warfare. You need to deal with it. As James would say, what? Hey, stop being deceived. And you need to wake up, Christian, and remind yourself, maybe you've been saved for a while. You knew it when you first got saved. But when the moment you got saved, you entered into a spiritual war against a demonic host who's not only real, but they're really out there every day trying to hurt, harm, and destroy your walk with Jesus Christ. He can't take away your salvation, but this is one of those inputs that's feeding the flesh, feeding the sin nature, feeding the old man, the black dog, or the spider. This is why there's so many cobwebs, is because you're not shutting it off, right? That's the first one you need to stop being deceived about. Okay, let's take a look at the next one. The next one is, frankly, Satan's dominion. And that's basically this wicked world system, right? And I think why it's not just a world system. We're in the world, just not of it. How come? Because it's wicked to the core. And guess who's running the show, right? Here's what we see in the scripture, 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 4. If the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it's hidden only from those people who are perishing. Who? Satan, who is the little g, god of this world. God's the one that's in control. But Satan is the one who's the one permeating this planet with all the evil, rotten, anti-God, anti-Jesus, anti-Bible thoughts and mindsets and things. The god of this world has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. That's what's going on. John 12, 31, the time for judging this world has come when who? Satan, the ruler of this world, will be cast out. And Ephesians 2, 1 through 2, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, Christian, you used to, key word there, used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, who, what? Obeying the devil, the commander of the powers and the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. So now we're fighting a front every day that basically James is saying, don't be deceived about. You got to deal with spiritual warfare. Hey, get this. Hey, don't read the Bible. You know, don't feed the spirit. You ain't got time for that. Oh, yeah. And this, and then do this and feed that. And yeah. It's bad enough you got to deal with that. But now just the world that we live in, this messed up cursed version, it's out there doing the same thing. And it's not just out there doing the same thing. The Bible's very clear. It is out there doing the same thing on three different fronts all at the same time. Right? The Bible calls it the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And it's the same tactic that, shocker, Satan used to cause the fall of man the first time, right? With Genesis, right? Genesis 3. Why? How did Eve fall for that? Because she fell for the same tactics he uses today. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, oh, lust of the flesh. And pleasing to the eye, lust of the eye. And desirable for gaining wisdom, look at me, how smart I am. Pride of life. What happened? She took some and she ate it. And as we all know, that was the first account of the first woman eating the first man out of house and home. And it just went downhill from there. Right? That one never gets old. But it's the same tactic that he uses today. Right? And that's what he's saying. Listen, you got other, it's bad enough you got spiritual warfare that's feeding the flesh and keeping that spider alive and creating cobwebs. But you also just this world, and this world hits you simultaneously three different ways, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, okay? And John mentions this, right? He talks about, first of all, the lust of the flesh. And let's deal with all three of those in this text here. 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, right, that Satan is one out there instituting against God, is what? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. That's not from the Father, hello. It's from who? It's from this world, right? And who's the little g, ruler of this world? Satan, and if Satan's wicked and the demons are wicked, then what does that make his little ruler kingdom? Wicked as well. That's why James says later, maybe star date 5,322, if we ever get there, he says, listen, Christian, he's got very strong words. If you are a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. Why? Because what's behind this wicked world system? Satan. And you'd rather play in Satan's playground than walk and live and keep in step with the Spirit of God and live for him after all he's done? And we ain't even there yet. But let's deal with that first one, the lust of the flesh. Now, the word there, lust, is, we saw last week, epithumia, but I want to add some tensing to it. Watch this. It means a desire, a craving, right? A longing, a lust for that which is forbidden. But it's not just, it's a passion, a lusting. Listen to this. It's literally, the connotation there is it's a violent passion. You don't just need to do this. I'm not just tempting to do this. I'm violently getting you to do this. To live like this violently. As a way of life. And he's talking about the lust of the flesh, okay? It's all about you, and you must please yourself. And tell me that that's not what's going on today. People are violently passionate. Every day they get up out of bed. Lust of the flesh. Now, we don't say that, but let's define what the lust of the flesh is. The me, myself, and I, the unholy syndrome. It's all about me, what I want to please myself. And that's the only reason why I exist. I get out of bed. I want to do what pleases me. And everywhere I go, it's all about pleasing me. That's the lust of the flesh, right? And that's what people live for. And dare I say, it even comes into, if you allow it, it's not allowed here because we follow the scripture, but people come to church services with the lust of the flesh on their mind. That's not the type of sermon that I wanted to hear. That doesn't please me. That's not the kind of music that I want. That doesn't please me. That's not the kind of kid programs that I want for my kids. That doesn't please. That's lust of the flesh. Amen. And guess what? You're feeding that. And then you wonder why you got so much sin. And the scripture is very clear. You better make up your mind on what you do with that. Romans 14, 7 through 8. For we are not our own masters when we live or when we die. While we live to who? What? Who? What's the modus of operandi? Every day you get out of bed? I exist to please who? The Lord, God. Why? Who wouldn't want to after all he's done for us? Are you kidding me? And when we die, we go to be with the Lord. So here it is. In life and in death, we belong to the Lord. How many guys would say that the phrase there, life and death, kind of covers everything? Anybody? So in everything we do, we get out of bed. How do you know you're walking, living, keeping step in the Spirit? You're feeding the Spirit and you're going to experience that fruit? My mind is, I'm here to please you, God. I give of my time, my treasure, my talents, my tongue, this body, everything is for you because it is his. The scripture says you were bought at a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Your life is not your own. It's his. And I don't know about you. I was the master of this destiny and all it did was sin. And I don't want to live like that. I want him to run the show. Amen. He does it way better. Amen. But if you get up and it's all about me and pleasing me, and I, yeah, it's not just wrong. It's the lust of the flesh. And it's what the world spews at you every day. It's all about you and please you and please you. And you wonder why you got so much sin. What's James say? Okay, you need to stop being deceived. Oh, that's my analogy for being bloated for sin, in case you're wondering. But what's he say? Stop being deceived, right? You live like that? All right, you guys seem to like it. I'll show it again. There it is. Do you see what happens when you go to KFC? Come on, man. That's not good. Stop being deceived, right? But anyway, let's deal with the next one, right? It's not just that. Remember, our whole deal, we're not just Satan and demons, and it's not just this world, and it's not just this world doing the lust of the flesh. Remember, it does three things simultaneously. What's the next one? The lust of the eye. There's so many things we got to deal with every day if you're going to experience that victory that Christ has already won. And you got to shut off the things that's feeding that spider and creating those cobwebs, right? Let's go back to that verse. What's the second one? 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the what? Eyes and the boastful pride of life. That's not from the Father, but it is from the world. Now tell me that's not what's going on. Lust of the eyes, okay? What's the lust of the eyes, right? That's what the world is. It's not only me, myself, and pleasing me and mine, lust of the flesh. But now it's this on top of that. Every day when you get out of bed, everywhere you go, every commercial, every billboard, every person's. Oh, I got to have that. Did you see that jacket that Pastor Billy was wearing? He got attacked by Pink Panther, but it's still cool. He looks like Captain Pepto-Bismol. But look at, I've got to have it. I got to have it. Lust of the eyes. So I know you're out there. Just don't do that. No. It's all that. See, it's not enough that you have a home. I got to have one that's even larger and bigger and not just a swimming pool. I've got to have three of them. No. No, no, no. I can't just have a car. I got to have a bigger one and three of them and eight of them. And then I can't just have clothes. I got to have this and that. And just the eyes. Everything's out there. And right, every commercial, every billboard, it's all out there. That's the eyes. You got to have it. You got to have it. You got to have it. So on top of, I'm out there living to please me, and that's feeding that old man. You got sin going. Bleh. Now you got this whole thing out there in the world, the lust of the eyes. Now the problem with the lust of the eyes is it comes at a horrible price. See, because this particular sin, what does it take to get all those little things that your eyes say, I got to have? Money. Right? But see, there's so much out there, you ain't got enough money. And so this world's out there, created this incredible thing called credit. And then, because you have to have it now, because it's lust of the eyes, I gotta have it now. Instant gratification. Then you go into debt. And then debt, of course, stands for dumb excuses for buying things. And then here's the payoff. You ain't got time to feed the Spirit. Prayer. Bible reading, witnessing, fellowship, because you're so stinking in debt, you're working your tail off to pay off your new master. It leads to slavery. It's of this wicked world. And Jesus said, you better make up your mind, because you can't do both. Right? Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters, for you will hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. But that's what the world says, right? Just get him. You'll pay later. It'll be okay. You're working your tail off, run the so-called rat race of life because I just had to have that thing that my eyes were lost. What's James say? Stop it. Stop being deceived. That does not come from the Father. That's from this wicked world system to distract you, to get you to feed that spider so it never stops making cobwebs. Deal with the source. Let's give you the third and final one. That's the pride of life. Put it all together. This is crazy. We not only have to deal with spiritual warfare. Hey, do this right here. Yeah. And don't listen to God. Yeah. And then every day we get up out of bed, the world's saying, live to please you, please you, please you. And then you got to have that, and I got to have that, and you got to have that. And then here comes this. It's all about you. Look at me. Yeah. And again, it's the pride of life. Right? And that feeds that old man. You wonder why the cobwebs never go away, right? For all that is in the world, let's read again, the lust of the flesh, 1 John 2:16, the lust of the eyes, and now what? The boastful pride of life. Where is that coming from? It's not just not coming from the Father. Where is it coming from? It's from this what? World that Satan's the little g, the ruler over of. He's wicked. This is wicked. And this is what's feeding your flesh, and you wonder why it's out of control. Because now you're giving in to this next one. It's all about you glorifying yourself. It's about me. Self-love, self-esteem. You can't even tell me I'm wrong. Why? That would damage how incredible I feel about myself. And you boasted everything about your accomplishments and that. And kids today, they don't even get grades. Everybody's an A student. No, you're not, you liar. But you can't destroy their self-esteem because it's all about me. Glorify yourself. Everybody's wonderful. Here's what it does. You ever been to Texas? Everything's bigger in Texas. Watch this. Two Texans were trying to impress each other with the size of their ranches. Because that's what you do in Texas. Now watch this. One of the other two Texans, he said, hey, what's the name of your ranch? And the guy goes, I've been waiting for you to ask. Here's the name of my ranch. And he says, it's the Rocking R. ABC, Flying W, Circle C, Bar U, Staple 4, Box D, Rolling M, Rainbows N, Silver Spur Ranch. And the other Texan goes, woo-wee. He said, that's some name you got there. How many head of cattle you run? And the other Texan said, well, not many. Very few survived the branding. Called the pride of life. And we laugh about it. Now, how many times we get burned by it? and you live that way, and you don't realize, no wonder there's so much sin. Because you know what you're doing? Pride. What was it that caused the fall of Satan?
Pride.
So when you live like that every day, professing to be a Christian, you know what you're doing? You're out there resembling the one who hates your soul instead of the one who saved your soul. Think that's going to be blessed? No. And the Bible's very clear. You want to boast in somebody? You don't boast in yourself. Are you kidding me? You boast in Jesus Christ. Whatever you do, every day, that should be your attitude. And boy, I tell you what, that's going to feed the spirit. All right, but that's the problem. 1 Corinthians 10, 31. Whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do. Stop right there. How many guys, again, would say we're seeing something consistent in the scripture? That means everything. Yeah, okay. So in everything, what you must what? Do all for the glory of God. And that's your mindset. Every day, God, it's all about you, man. This is your life. I don't live to please me. Mm-mm. What's that, God? I only got one master. You're faithful to provide. I'm doing just fine. You said, if I seek first your kingdom, your righteousness, all these things will be added unto you, whatever you eat and drink and wear. How many of you guys got food to eat? How many of you guys, you got a place to sleep? How many of you guys got clothes on right now? Praise God. Right? Then guess what? Life is good. Your master, Jesus, is faithful. Woo! And God, that, and every day I'm thankful for that. I'm content, as the scripture says. And you know what, God? I'm here to boast in you. I just can't wait to tell fellow Christians how good you are. How awesome. I can't wait to tell the lost how awesome you are. I'm going to boast in you. I'm going to boast in me. If I'm going to boast in me, I'm going to boast in God saved a wretch like me. Amen. Right? That's how we're supposed to live. And that's what James is saying. Don't be deceived. Because if it's all about you, pleasing you, all the things that you want, thinking somehow I could serve God, but I'm really living for the things of this world, and it's all about just walk around with a mirror all day. That'll destroy you. And James is saying, don't you dare. Don't be deceived. That's why sin's out of control. And in fact, let me give you an analogy. I haven't shared this in a while, but I need to because I love you and I care. But it makes a good point. And it's true. It's true research. But see, Satan, when he does the pride of life, the lust of the eye, and lust of the flesh, it doesn't come out like, ooh, look at that, that's horrible. It looks and sounds tantalizing, right? It looks good. But see, that's all the lie. That's the lie. It's really something deadly on the inside. For instance, how many of you guys ever went to a Chinese restaurant? You made them, okay, praise God. Three of you are honest. The rest of you are scared. You went to a Chinese restaurant. Your first mistake was you ordered some chicken dish. Orange chicken or whatever. Which to me is your first clue. Chickens aren't normally orange. But anyway, you ordered chicken. But was that really chicken? Or was it rats? And this is actually true, what I'm about to share with you. And let's take a look at that tricky procedure, shall we? First of all, to pull off the illusion, you got to burn the hair off the rats, right? Because I don't know about you, but me personally, I don't like eating hairy rats. Right? So this is what you do. You burn the hair off them. But then you got, you know, kind of a smoky flavor. I don't like smoky flavored rats. You got to wash them before cooking. You know, if I'm going to eat a rat, I want it clean. I want a disinfected rat, right? And then only that, you got to cut them up to, you know, simulate chicken parts. It looks like chicken, right? Oh, and then you got to season them to taste extra special. Look at that, huh? You can post that on Facebook. Nobody would know the difference. Huh? Isn't that neat? Oh, and then you deep fry them. Because once you deep fry everything, you don't know. Everybody likes deep fried food. Right? Oh, and now it's ready to eat. It's on a plate. I mean, surely that's chicken. But let's take a closer look. And what do we see? It's not chicken. It's rat. The other white meat. Other places. I'm not joking. They actually consider rat a delicacy. Actually, more of a delicacy than, I kid you not, chicken or even beef. They prefer rat. And it's a good thing those people never come over here. and open up businesses. Let that sink in. That would be a misfortune, wouldn't it? Wow. Now, is that gross or what? Can I tell you what, folks? That's what this wicked world system is doing every day. That's what Satan's doing. If he can't get you through spiritual warfare to feed that old man, that spider, that black dog, he uses these three things simultaneously every day. Lust of the flesh. Lust of the eye. Pride of life. And it sounds so good. It looks like it's going to be good. But it's Satan's poisonous rat meat that you're ingesting. And frankly, as a Christian, we need to put on our biblical discernment glasses. And I really, again, back to James, stop being deceived. Whether you want to believe it or not, you need to put on your discernment glasses and realize this world, it's an illusion. It's all out there to get you to sin against God, turn away from God, turn away from the truth. And it's only the Bible that gives us the biblical worldview to see that's really what's going on every day, and we need to take it serious. Okay, let's take a look at that. Very accurate, and dare I say very accurate biblically. The Bible is the only book on the planet that gives you the glasses to see what's really going on in this wicked, I always use that word on purpose, wicked world system. Not just world system, we don't just live in the world. It's the wicked world system. There's an illusion going on out there, and only the Bible tells us and gives us that eyesight. It's out there. Three different ways trying to get you to sin against God and not walk and live and keep in step with the Spirit of God. And that's why James says, don't be deceived. You need to find out what it is that is feeding the old man, the black dog, the sin nature that, praise God, when we go to heaven, we lose that, but right now we're still dealing with it. Praise God, we got connection with God because our spirit's been made alive in Christ. And we don't have to be a slave to sin, Romans 6. But you still got that conflict. Don't be deceived about that. Take it serious. The facts are, if you love any more books rather than the Bible, any pleasure more than prayer, any satisfaction more than Jesus Christ, guess what? You're not feeding your spirit. You're feeding that spider. You know, it isn't just that spiders create a cobweb. They create other spiders. And then another spider. Then a whole bunch of spiders. Then a bunch of cobwebs. And again, if we don't take this serious and stop being deceived, you're going to end up with a full-blown invasion of those things. Like what happened here. Watch this.
I have a question for you. Are you afraid of spiders? September 2018, Greece. The west coast of the city of Etoliko was completely clouded with cobwebs. They were everywhere, in trees, bushes, and boats. The entire coast was simply spun into a cobweb. And this happened because of the hot weather, which led to the appearance of an abnormal number of mosquitoes, which serve as excellent food for spiders. These spiders hurry to weave as much web as possible to catch the mosquitoes. The web also serves as a great breeding ground, and spiders began to appear exponentially. This room is just full of spiders. They are everywhere, on the floor, on the walls, and even falling from the ceiling. What would you do if you were in this room? A pest control worker saw a spider's nest in the attic of one of the houses he was working on. Then he turned on his light and shone it a little higher and captured the huge mother spider. These frames are like from a horror movie.
Okay. That's very motivational. As creepy as that is, that happens. Spiders can get out of control. But here's the point. In all those cases, I wonder how it could have been stopped. How could it got stopped before getting to the invasion level? Ah, I got it. You kill the mother spider when you first see it. And that's what James is saying. Don't be deceived. You diddle-dally around with feeding your flesh, that sin nature, that old man, that spider. You feed it with the sinful inputs from spiritual warfare or the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and lust of the eye. You're feeding that thing. Why would you feed it? It's going to multiply. Don't diddle-dally around. Don't procrastinate. Don't ignore it. Don't deny it. Kill the thing. Don't be deceived, my brothers. Understand how the process works. We have seen the enemy, and it is us, the old man, the black dog, the sin nature, the spider. That's why there's so many cobwebs. Deal with it. Starve that thing. Shut it off. And then feed your spirit and have a wonderful walk with Jesus Christ. What a concept. Don't be deceived about that. But that's not all. The second thing that we're going to see, okay, I believe he's saying, is don't be deceived how the process of temptation works. Okay? But we're out of time. We'll get to that, Lord willing, next time. Let's pray. Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death? In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with Him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows He's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall or give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine x-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine x-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying. Okay? How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Okay? Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandment says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. And for being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something, right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy. Even His name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest, if you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's his standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with Him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step. To admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon. That God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against Him and disqualified us for heaven, right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. There's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon, and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it? And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive His pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what He was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon, so that you could be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you would confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth He is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.